Neil Atkinson joined by Rory Smith, what we'll call a midnight caller, but I'm going to change the name of next year, Rory. It's one of those things, it goes out, it's tweeted out as midnight caller, and people who don't currently subscribe to the Anfield Wrap have got no idea what that means. And it's another aspect of the Anfield Wrap being awful at marketing things. Actually, Craig's brilliant at marketing things, and part of the reason why we're changing the name is Craig said, can you please change the name of this? This is just admin on air, but we're all fine.
What are you workshopping?
I'm workshopping the idea that I speak to somebody very interesting about football, on a weekly basis. So we just keep changing the name to literally me and the name of the person. Which is not complicated. And lets people know who may want to listen to the show, who's on the show straight away. And that, I think is just, it just doesn't feel complex. Whereas Midnight Caller feels like a Gary Cole joke from 8 years ago when we first started doing this. But anyway,
call it workshopping with.
Workshopping with, we'll do that then maybe. And we can do that as we go all the way through and see who we end up with. But this time we have got Rory, and we're going to be talking about the Saudi Arabian League, its actions, and so on and so forth. There's two bits to this, Rory, and I want to go quite backwards and forwards on it. The first part of this is we have seen this before. This has happened in Russia. It's happened in China. And I think it's very, very important in the first place that that is acknowledged. It's happened in Russia and it's happened in China in two different periods. And both of those leagues failed. You can go all the way back to the first iteration of the North American League in the 70s, if you want to, as well. And Russia and China did not have the nightclubs of the standard of Studio 54. But it has happened before. This is not new in football. It's important to say that.
Yeah, this is the latest. I mean, China is the really obvious parallel, partly because it's so recent, but also because the money was on a similar scale, I think, but also the reaction within Europe was similar. There was this sort of mixture of rubbing clubs and agents, particularly rubbing their hands with glee, thinking, right, we can shift all of the players we don't want onto these clubs, and they'll never realize what we're doing. And then after a few weeks, kind of genuine fear of, you're trying to take our thing away from us. What are you doing? Can't you see the impact you're having? Suddenly the prices are going up everywhere. Teams won't sell to other teams because they're waiting for offers from this kind of other place, this deus ex machina, effectively. And that was true of China. It's probably less true of Russia. And I think with Russia and Turkey, which is the other kind of name that gets mentioned, the one thing that maybe makes it slightly different is that both of those countries, certainly Russia, Turkey to an extent, were recognizable kind of football cultures in a way that China wasn't, and that Saudi is probably to an extent wrongly perceived as not being. Saudi does, we saw it during the World Cup, Saudi does have a really kind of ardent football fan base. We tend to group Saudi with Qatar and Abu Dhabi and the UAE. And I think obviously there's cultural and religious reasons for that and geographical reasons for it. But the one area where it's wrong, I think, is that we think of them all effectively being stateless, that, Qatar is a tiny, tiny place. There's 300,000 actual Qataris. There's lots and lots of people, several million migrant workers there, but there's 300,000 actual Qataris. The UAE, the citizenship base of Emiratis, is very small. Saudi's a big country. Saudi's got, tens of millions of people. And a lot of them are football fans. And we saw in Qatar in November, that they were coming across the border in huge numbers, mainly by coach for some reason, to support the Saudi national team. And there is a football culture there. So if you go to an Al Ittihad game, there will be 50, 60,000 people in the stadium. Yeah. And they are Al Ittihad fans. They are not there just because N'Golo Kante and Karim Benzema have signed. They are actual fans of an actual football team that has a long history. And that's different to the UAE and Qatar, where it feels much more like it's been imposed on the country or sort of superimposed on the country in a way that is also true of five-star hotels and water parks.